World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
As a young man, as a child actually, my mom and dad, they raised us and taught us the Bible different ways for different ages. I remember as a little boy, my mom and dad teaching us. I have four brothers, so there's five of us boys. So sometimes we'd be together, other times it'd just be us, you know, in our bedrooms. And mom or dad would teach us Bible stories. And you know, we're living in a world where sometimes Christian kids only know Disney stories. And she would teach us Bible stories. And you know, from those stories, God can speak to children because all of these stories hold principles. As I got older, I remember Dad and Mom teaching me how to memorize Scripture. And so I would memorize Scripture. And then as I got into my, you know, preteens, Dad would pay me to memorize Scripture. And I said that in the first service, and one kid in the front turns to his parents like this, and Dad would pay me a nickel a Scripture. And I remember like finding all the short verses, like Jesus wept, pray without ceasing. And you know, then after I used up all the short verses, I had to start memorizing all the longer verses. And I never realized what an astounding, brilliant thing it was to teach the Word like that. Till I got older. And before I was married in my late teens, early 20s, I began to work out of a hospital and be trained as a paramedic. And there I saw such suffering and heartache and brokenness, going to accident scenes and deaths and rapes and murders and just doing your best to maximize survivors had a brutal effect on me. And I remember just crying out to God and just saying, God, like, there used to be so many miracles, and I know that miracles are for today. And God, I want to pray with people. Now, you had to do it secretly because they wouldn't let you do that in the hospital or in the ambulance. But something began to change in my life as I began to study the Word and recognize that knowledge of the Scripture didn't necessarily cause miracles to flow in your life. And it began to bother me, and so I began to go back into the Word and say, God, if miracles are for the church, and the Bible's very clear on that, the day of miracles is not over, yet we live in a world that sees few miracles. I thought, God, why is that? Because I've now in a career, in a job that needs tons of them. And as I begin to go into the Word, something started in this area of moving God's Word from knowing it to where it began to establish in my heart. I recognize there's a process, and that as you give your life to Christ and you begin to serve Him, that we are filled with beliefs. We're filled with the ways we think. We're filled with doubts. We're filled with just a low identity as to who we are and what we can do. But when we give our life to Jesus, we become a brand new creation. But yet, I wasn't seeing the incredible favor and miraculous blessing of God like I wanted to. I remember reading a book by an author. It was an Eastern pastor, and you know, much of the Eastern church has a different way of looking at the Word. Not wrong, just a different way of looking at it. And he began to talk about the fourth dimension and how the Bible says that don't look at the visible, look at the invisible, because the invisible is where eternal life is, and it is what comes into the visible world, which I know because the Bible says in Genesis, and God said, let there be, and all of a sudden things came into existence in the visible world, but God is in the invisible world. We can't just see Him in a visible form. And so as I began to look at this, I thought, okay, so all the power that is needed to change a body from sick to healthy, to begin to stop the enemy from taking us out early when God promises you a long life? It's in the Word. And I begin to recognize that studying Jesus' teaching, He shows us how to get miracles. And it comes down to this. There's a part inside of you the Bible calls the heart. Now, you cannot take Webster's dictionary to define a Bible word, because the word heart for us would be your physical heart, or if you saw a football player just going for it, man, that guy's got heart. But it just means passion. It just means, you know, not good, unstoppable. The Bible has a different definition of the word heart. And that this center of our being seems to be a mixture of your mind and your spirit. Now, when you're born again, your spirit is perfect because Jesus is there. And you're a brand new creation. You're forgiven for everything. But the problem lies in our memory banks, and that we have been taught all of this stuff. We've been taught to doubt. We've been taught things that are wrong. We have doubts, unbelief, misbeliefs. And so when we go to believe God for something, the Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 10. It says that even being born again, you must speak with your mouth and believe in your heart, not your head. And I begin to look at this, because there was verses about the mind, and then I read another one, and it talked about you being able to speak to situations in your life in prayer, and that it must obey you. I went, well, it's not obeying me. But then I read this little line, if you do not doubt in your heart. And I thought, okay, well, that just, what, to me, heart just kind of meant a deeper level of thinking. That's about it. But when I begin to recognize that the heart is literally the autopilot of my future, that the heart is so stunning that if you can take and use the process God gives us to take His word, His way of thinking, His way of believing, and if you can begin in a very simple, quick process to move it from your head to your heart, that your heart begins to flow into your life so powerfully. Now get this. In Matthew 12, it says there that a good man from the good treasures of his heart, not his mind, the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. That an evil man from an evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I began to look at that and I thought, okay, I always thought that you just pray to God, God decides. But in the new covenant, all of it has been decided. Jesus has died. He's given you all His promises. And so all we have to do is believe from the heart. Then as I began to look at the Old Testament, it says, if you can't control your life or yourself, it says you are like a city with broken walls. That intrigued me. A city with broken walls. And the more I begin to examine the scriptures, I realize that my mind is the walls of my heart. Why? Because in the old days, if you wanted to live protected in your city, you would build great walls. And those walls would stop armed invaders from coming through. And you could defend from those walls. And so I thought, okay, so if I want to be in control of my life and not, you know, lose all no self-control, but I needed to have great walls. Well, that means I have to have a great mind. And then the New Testament teaches it through the Apostle Paul in a different way. It says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in Ephesians 6:10, and put on the whole armor of God that you can defeat. And it says, all the schemes of the devil. Wow. So, in the Old Testament, it talks about like the walls of a city. In the New Testament, it talks about the armor that you must put on. And that when the armor is on, it stops the fiery darts of the devil. But now, let me just say something to you. If you do not grow in the Word and get it in your heart, meaning where it begins to write on the tables of your heart, it's planted deep like Mark 4 in your heart, something beautiful begins to happen. You see, as worries and concerns and doubts and fears begin to come at you, if you have to deal with every one of them in your head, can you imagine how busy your head's going to be if you got 10 kids and a couple companies and, it's just, blah! But the Bible says that the walls of that city stop the attack. It doesn't get in. That the armor that we can wear is a supernatural armor, not of this world. Jesus wore it and we can have it. And it begins to explain how that each piece of the armor is a revelation of truth in God's word. Now, I'll show you what I mean. I'm going to give you an example. For all of you who have given your lives to Christ and spent time into the word, I'm going to say a lie to you. And let's see how long you think about it. Ready? Here we go. God is dead. You won't even think about that for 3 seconds. You won't agonize over this afternoon. You won't go to bed tonight going, Leon said God's dead. You're not even going to think about it. You know why? Because the word that you already have in you has created the armor that stops that temptation to doubt that God is alive. Now, I could go on and say, you're not forgiven. And if you've got any word in you, you're not going to worry about this. In fact, the words I just said, it's like bounce off, gone, Teflon. Why is that? Because the word that is in you, it bounces off the lies and the doubts and the fears. So as you begin to learn in God's word, how about Jesus qualifies you, and the enemy comes at you and says, you haven't been good enough, God's not there for you. And so one person's going, okay, well, what am I going to do? You won't, because it bounces off the revelation of the word. God's word is so powerful. It is so amazing. And to the most mature believer here, there'll never be a time where you shouldn't feed on God's word. Because the Bible says that God's word is the bread of life. It brings energy and life. And the other thing that it does is it builds an armor that is impossible for the temptation and the lies of the devil to get through.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Is love, then there ought to be something in us that just makes this world go, wow, I need Jesus for all of my relationships. Psalms 34 and verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David says in Psalms 34 that you could listen to all of the experts prove the Bible, prove the existence of Jesus, but taste and see. The Lord, He's good. He is love. He's amazing. And we as children of God, we ought to be able to love at a level that the world stands in awe of. How can you have relationships like that? And you can't say you're so good. It's Jesus. He gives us an ability to love that is beyond anything we could do on our own. And so when you look at this heart, the mind is the protection for the heart, the wall. It is the armor. And so as you begin to just feed on His word, just chill out, relax, the word begins to get planted. Now, at first, nothing seems to happen. In Mark chapter 4, verses 27 and on, it says, this is the way the kingdom of God works. The man plants seed in the ground, goes to bed, and it grows while he's sleeping. And it doesn't just grow when he's consciously watching it. Wouldn't that be annoying? We planted 2 sections. We're just standing here making sure it keeps growing. You go to bed. You can leave. Go on holidays for a few weeks to the lake. And that soil will keep growing that seed because the soil's designed to do that. You can lift a fence post up, and in the hole of the fence post is moisture and nutrients. It's trying to grow the fence post. The soil will grow whatever you put into it. And so this ability to just kind of enjoy God's word, I love listening to teachers. Okay, I love reading books that teach the word of God, because many men and women are gifted to teach the word, and you can learn from 30, 40 years of their experience. And then I'll go to the word as I'm following along, and I'll study it for myself, and something began to happen to me. My boundaries begin to go bigger. My cords lengthened. My stakes strengthened. And what was hard to do, just to believe God to put shelter over Sally and I's head and just to get any kind of a car, in the financial world, I begin to see things happen, the favor of God. In our relationship, it was fun. We were married and we've got kids and there's things you're working out for. But as the Word of God came in, I became at such peace that even when I would go to a call, because I was married even for a while, for 7 years as a paramedic, I would go to a call, and in the early years, I was a mess. I mean, to pull the sheet over different ages of people, not be able to help some. I'd go home and just burst into tears. And then, as I began to get the Word in me, my mind began to stabilize in a way I had never experienced before. See, the Bible says that in Timothy, that I have not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and then it says something interesting, a sound mind. Now, this word sound mind means a disciplined nature, disciplined way of thinking, an ability to walk through incredible storms and be at peace. And if Jesus is our example, he's in the bow of the boat sleeping while fishermen are freaking out. How bad of a storm does it have to be for a guy who lives on the lake and he's freaking out? And Jesus is a total peace. And he shows us. And then Jesus says, my peace, I leave it with you. Well, you don't need peace when things are going good. You need peace when things are going crazy. And all of us, as we begin to feed on God's word each day and trust and believe him, at first it seems like nothing is happening. If you go out and look at the crop, yeah, we just put that section into oats. Oh, I don't see anything. Yeah, you have to trust me, I put it in. Oh, I don't even know you. How do I know it's in? Well, you won't know for a while. What do you mean I won't know for a while? It's just black dirt. All I see is black dirt. There's oats there. No, there's not. This farmer's going to be arguing with this city boy going, there's oats there, trust me. That's like you and the Word. As you just get out and hear God's Word, grab some time each day to feed on the Word, you're going to find that something begins to grow out of you. Now, you didn't solve any problems. You haven't got some new kind of doctrine in your head. You're just finding that peace begins to grow. You begin to have a song in your heart. You begin to be thankful and happy and energized and healthy. What's going on? The Word has taken root. And the enemy will try to attack you, meaning he brings tribulation. The Bible says that when persecution arises for the Word's sake, many quit. But don't stop in God's Word. Don't stop getting out to church, because something miraculous, something amazing begins to take place as all of a sudden the presence of God from the Word that is planted in you renews your mind, transforms you to a peace like Jesus had, transforms you to hear his voice. Did you know that one of the reasons peace is crucial is that you won't hear or sense God's voice if fear, anxieties, worries attack your head? You won't sense. Holy Spirit is the great persuader. When you give your life to Christ and he comes within you, he'll persuade you of how special you are. He'll persuade you of how much God loves you. He'll persuade you each day that you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. He'll persuade you each day that it's worth jumping and laughing and rejoicing, because ahead, nothing by any means can hurt you. And he begins to persuade you of God's word. That's when it goes from the mind to the heart, and the walls of protection begin to go around your heart. That armor begins to rise up. Your mind begins to be renewed. Knowledge is not what it's talking about. Knowledge is of the mind is an important step in the process. But until there's transformation, keep going. That's all. Just keep going. Don't say, well, I tried it and it doesn't work. That's like a farmer that goes out there and he plants his oats all over this quarter section. And he goes out and he goes, look it. Look all the work I did. Nothing. I got nothing here. Honey, pack your bags. we're out of here. Let's go for a four-month holiday somewhere. While he's off going somewhere, the earth will produce by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full head in the ear, and then it's harvest time. If we can learn to protect his word, to keep feeding on it, especially in the areas that you are struggling with, Matthew 12 teaches us that you can find the areas you have misbeliefs. You see, your heart has beliefs that you didn't put there. Your misbeliefs will come from your upbringing, your culture, grandparents, school, coaches, traumatic things that happened to you, etc. And so as you keep feeding on the word, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and on, it talks about how Holy Spirit searches the hearts. Why is he doing that? He's going to find things that were placed there that are misbeliefs, that are doubts. And he's going to guide you in the word, so the word just chokes it out and takes its place. The Bible teaches that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the body, the soul, and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wait. You mean there are thoughts and intentions in the heart, and there are thoughts and intentions in the head? So I'm confused. No, you're not. Just renew your mind with the word, and you're going to find Holy Spirit will begin to work in your life. And your ability to lengthen the cords of your tent, to strengthen the stakes, to expand the boundaries until you see the favor and the blessing of God in the land of the living. And the things you only dreamed of begin to happen in your life. Not because God likes you more, because he's blessed us all with the word. And he's blessed us all with answers to prayer. No, all that's going on is it's growing on the inside of you. And you're saying, well, what should we plant today? Well, let's talk a little bit about peace and joy in our marriage. Okay, great. Find some scriptures about that. Meditate on them. Pray with them. And they begin to get planted in your heart. Well, I think I need healing in my body. Literally, the kind of seed you want to plant is the kind that you need. This process renews the mind and establishes your heart in grace, which is a new covenant principle. Many of you people who have been raised in faith, our faith is not in a specific verse. In the new covenant, our faith is in the finished work of Jesus, which is why Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus. I used to think that, okay, we got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, he's revealing Jesus, so he's humble. I guess Jesus must be proud. I mean, why is the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus? And I began to walk through all these doctrines, and then I began to recognize it's what Jesus did on the cross that is the very anchor of your faith. It's done, bought and paid for by Jesus. And as you spend time in the Word, Holy Spirit will reveal how loved you are, how special you are, and as you begin to focus on his word, he will help you to dream the dreams of the future. No, one person said, well, I've got my pallbearers picked out. Good. Everyone's going to have a funeral one day. And I know good. I said, now, what are you dreaming about for your future? That. Well, the Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. What's your vision to live? Do you have one? If you're here today and you don't have a vision for the future, and you might not have any problems going on at all, this lack of vision, of dreaming and speaking and declaring and knowing that my future's going to be better than my past, I'm more loyal to my future than I am to my past. Wow, this year's going to be the best ever. Somebody, Leon, what was the best day of your life? I always say, tomorrow. Why am I going to camp on something that's happened before? Ahead of me is the best days of my life, and God and I are going to go forward. As you begin to change the way you think, the way you believe, the way you talk, man, does it happen quickly in our lives, because it's the process that renews the mind and establishes the heart. With every head bowed for just a moment, for those that are here that would say, you know, Leon, I'm not sure that that I'm a Christian or that I'm a believer. I want to lead you in a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that I've prayed, changed my life. You see, God is never going to force himself into your world. He gave you freedom, and he will wait until you ask him and want him in your life. For those who are watching by television, wherever you are on this planet, pray with us. This entire auditorium is going to pray this prayer out loud with these wonderful people who are making a decision for eternity. Let's all pray this out loud. Just say, "Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. He died in my place. He qualified me to be in your family, forgiven and clean because of him. Come into my heart, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Amen." Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful that is.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.